If I were to ask you this morning, how do you maintain your physical health? What do you need to do to nourish certain practices in your life that you will be healthy physically? All of you know the right answer, don't you? All of us know that in order to have healthy bodies, to be physically healthy, right, we need to eat the right foods, get enough sleep, get enough exercise, stay away from the bad foods, you know, sleep deprived, all that kind of stuff. We know, right, we know what it takes. We know what we need to do to nourish physical health in our bodies. But if I take that same line and ask you, what does it look like for you to be spiritually healthy? What does it look like for you to have soul health, to have a healthy, flourishing relationship with God? What are the practices? What does it look like to be nourished in that spiritual health? What would you say then? What would the answer be that you gave to how to grow spiritually, how to have spiritual health? Well, this morning, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to think about our spiritual health, the health of our soul, the health of growing, flourishing in a relationship with Jesus. And we're going to just look at one aspect of that, one way that God gives to us to nourish our souls that we might flourish in a relationship with God. So, what does that look like? If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open your Bible to Psalm 119. We're going to be in verses 9 through 16 today, and if you were here with us last week, you heard that we're going to, throughout the spring into June, we're going to spend each Sunday going through Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is divided out by the Hebrew alphabet, so it's very much structured for us. Now, if you don't have a Bible today, or you don't have a Bible app or something like that on your phone, we want to encourage you to use the Bible that we provide for you in the seat in front of you. The page number is in the bulletin. You can turn there to that. So we're going to look today at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, thinking through this question of our own spiritual health, the health of your soul, and what does it look like for God to nourish the health of your soul. So we start with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Now we're going to stop there for a second. You might say to yourself, well, I'm not a young man, so how does this apply to me? Well, just even if you're not a young person, young man or a young woman, it applies to all of us. It's asking this question of a young man or a young woman, because think about that season in life where you're entering adulthood. And think about what it's like to think about your own spiritual health. What would you say to a person in that season of life as they prepare to grow into adulthood? And what would it look like for them to mature and have a healthy, growing, flourishing relationship with God? So we're asking this question, how can a young man keep his way pure? Now, one other thing is I want you to note, and we noted this last week, we're not asking at this point, how does somebody get onto the path? The assumption in this verse, and these verses, and all of Psalm 119, is that it's written to, as an expression of, someone who is already in a relationship with God. So this is about maturing, growing, flourishing in a relationship with God that you have. How does one come into that relationship is something we'll touch on briefly in just a moment. So here's the question. How can a young person, how can anyone, let's just say that, keep his way pure? Answer, by living according to your word. God's revelation to us, given to us, that God reveals himself to us through his words, that we experience him through his word. God speaks to us through his word. And then let's read verses 10 through 16 and just listen to the expression of praise for God giving his word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So we see this language of God's revelation, God's word given to us through the language of precept, decrees, statutes. And the verses we see here are marked by great joy. Great joy that God has given his word, that God has revealed himself to us. We don't see here a kind of cold stoicism, worshiping some distant deity, trying to placate that deity. We see here someone who is in a relationship with God and is flourishing in that relationship with God by the means of God's word. God's word is working and nourishing their life in such a way that their relationship with God is not one of going through the motions, but one of growth and flourishing and joy and maturity. Do you hear how it's marked throughout these verses of the joy of God experiencing him through his word? So we come back to this question of soul health, the health of your soul. What is it that nourishes the health of your soul? Well, again, today we see one way that God nourishes our soul, and that's by the means of his word. Put simply, bottom line, right? To flourish in a relationship with God, you must be nourished by the word of God. You'll see it there on the screen. To flourish in a relationship with God, right? You must be nourished by the word of God. So let's reflect. Let's reflect and let's think out. What does this look like? What does this look like in our lives? Let me give you this morning three things that I think you will find, or I hope you will find helpful. The first one is this. We loop back around to this question that we just touched on a second ago, which is Psalm 119 is written to someone who's already in a relationship with God. So how does one come into a relationship with God? How you answer that is fundamental to your life. Because God's word reveals to us that you and I, we were created for a relationship with God. Whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not, you were created and made to know him. The challenge, though, is not with God, but with us. Because we take the freedom that God gives to us as human beings, the freedom that are crucial to any relationship, and all of us, because of our nature, what the Bible calls our sin nature, not just what we do, but the function of who we are, that we take our freedom and we turn away from him. In our hearts and in our lives, we take that freedom and turn away from God. And we are the ones who fracture that relationship with God. And then as we recognize this fractured relationship with God, the question then becomes, how do I reconcile with God? And the answer to that question is myriad. Many ways that people think about, how can I be reconciled to God? But so many people, either intuitively or reflectively or by tradition or whatever it may be, they answer that question by saying, it must be some kind of performance that I do to reconcile myself to God. That performance may be religious ritual. It may be morality of some kind. It may be trying to outweigh your good deeds to your bad deeds, being true to yourself. The answers that people will come up with to try to say to themselves, the way that God will reconcile himself through me is through some kind of performance that I do. But if we're the ones who break the fellowship, and we're the ones who turn away from God, whatever it is that's going to reconcile us to him must come not from us, but from him. So what does he do? This is the message of the grace of Jesus Christ that can be missed even in the confines of a church. What did Jesus Christ perform? What did he do? Well, if you were to flip your Bibles over, you don't need to, but if you were to flip your Bibles over to John chapter 10, one of the ways that Jesus talked about himself, he talked about himself using imagery and metaphors in different ways. But one of the ways he talks about himself in John 10, he says, I am the gate. Again, now think about the imagery. In order to come onto the path, in order to be reconciled to God, in order to come into a relationship with God, you got to enter through some way. And Jesus says, I am the gate. That's through him that we enter into that relationship with God. Or you were to flip over a few more chapters, you'd end up in John 14. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so often we focus on the truth and the life of Jesus, but he's saying, I am the path. I am the way. Right? Think about this language. How can a person keep his way, his path pure? How do you get onto that path? There's the gate that is Jesus. There is the way that is Jesus. And we're mixing metaphors here, but who cares? Jesus does. And so he's the gate, he's the way. And if we go back again to John chapter 10, after Jesus talks about he is the gate, he then talks of himself as the good shepherd. And how is Jesus a good shepherd? Do you remember what he said? He said he's a good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. Do you hear? This is the way of Jesus. Not your performance before God and God responding with acceptance. But the way of grace is what God did in, through, and by Jesus Christ, who laid down his life. This is the imagery of the cross. Laid down his life for you. What's impossible for you, what you cannot do in your own self, was made possible by God through Jesus. So how are you reconciled to God and come into a relationship with him? It has zero to do with what you do. It has everything to do with what Christ performed on our behalf. And you can receive this gift by faith, by simply trusting in Christ and receiving the grace that was given to you, for you, so that you might be reconciled to God. And when we are reconciled to God, again, we're not talking about just a religious ritual of some kind. We're actually talking about and believing that we can be reconciled to the creator of this universe and that we can know him. And not just know him in an abstract kind of distant way, but that we can know him in the way of relationship. And then when we talk about relationship and we talk about the Spirit of God working in our lives, then we begin to ask those questions. How do I grow? What has God given to us that we can nourish this relationship with him? And here it is, right? His word. To flourish in a relationship with God, that relationship that comes by grace in Jesus Christ, that grace is also displayed and that God gives us the means by which we can grow closer to him, which is by the word of God. To flourish in a relationship with God, you must be nourished by the word of God. So that's how we come into that relationship. Secondly, and by the way, I'll have I'll have this information available to you in an application guide, sermon application guide, that's available on the guest welcome table after the service. So the second thing is this. Spend time in God's Word and expect God is nourishing your soul even when you don't feel it. That's important. You see, the means of God's Word is that He's nourishing your soul through His Word even if you don't have a tingly feeling sometimes. Or even if you come away from it in ways that it wasn't necessarily memorable for you in the moment. But do you understand? This is the path of health, of flourishing. That God's Word, right, is given by God for your flourishing. That you can flourish in a relationship with Him. And God does that through His Word, even when it doesn't feel like it. So, kind of staying on the second point. You know, last week we talked about this. How important it is for us as Christians to find structure and intentionality in our life to spend time in God's Word. We have to find what works for us, our personalities, our schedule, our body rhythms, whatever, but find what works for us to get ourselves in God's Word. I was talking about this last night. Many of y'all know I'm from Northwest Houston, Jersey Village area, and I was at a funeral yesterday in Northwest Houston for a guy that's a couple years younger than me, but we went to high school together, and we're in youth group together at Jersey Village Baptist Church, and he bore witness to Christ. He had terminal brain cancer. He lived almost 2 years with terminal brain cancer, but he bore witness to Christ very boldly in his life, and he bore witness to Christ in his death. And there were hundreds of people gathered there at what's called the Met Church there in Northwest Houston. Gave his testimony, and we were able to hear his testimony. And then afterwards, there was a reception, and you know how those things go. It's like 3 hours with a bunch of high school friends, and that's always good for a pastor because they just know you as a normal person. You know, you're not a pastor to them. You're just a normal person. But anyway, but I was talking to one of the guys I went to high school with, and he's in a high profile, kind of high stress position in Houston. So he's in an important leadership position, and we were talking about just this very thing. Like we were talking about his schedule, and I was asking him, you know, how do you get into God's Word? He's got a very kind of crazy schedule. And we were talking about that. And it would have been unhelpful for me to impose the way I get into God's Word onto his schedule. Because my schedule looks very different than his schedule. But we were talking about that. Like we're saying, how does that work for you in your life, the job that you have, the family that you have, the schedule, which is all over the place. So for all of us, getting ourselves into God's Word and within in the relationship with our schedule is going to be crucial for how that works. And when we come to God's Word, right, we come in a posture of humility. Sometimes we open God's Word and we think to ourselves, I wonder what I'm going to get out of this. A better way to come to God's Word is, what is God going to say to me through His Word? What is He going to say? And then as we do that posture of humility before God's Word, what did His Word mean? You see, sometimes we want to go too quickly to what does it mean to me? And that's a perfectly good question, but first of all, what did it mean first and foremost within the text, right? We're humbling ourselves before God in His Word. There's a little book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by a guy named Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. Dr. Stewart was actually one of my professors back in the day. But they have this quote, and it's in the application guide. But the quote is basically this. It's, The Word of God cannot mean what it never meant to its original hearers and readers. So we can't make God's revelation mean what we want it to mean. It's first of all, what does it mean? what did it mean? And then, as God brings illumination and clarity to that, then applying it to my life. So we approach the Bible with humility and anticipation. Because if it's true, right, that God nourishes your soul, that a flourishing relationship with God will come by being nourished by the Word of God, then we can come with anticipation that God is going to be doing things in and by and through His Word that we may not even recognize at the moment, but we can anticipate that God's promises associated with His work through His Word will be true in our life. And so I want to challenge and encourage you today that when we come to God's Word in a posture of humility and submission and intentionality in our life, that we can anticipate that God is at work in us and nourishing our soul to health through His Word, even in those seasons and times where it may not, or the feelings might not be as strong. So spend time in God's Word and expect God is nourishing your soul even when you do not feel it. And then thirdly, as God nourishes your soul by His Word, find ways in your daily, everyday, ongoing life to apply God's Word by faith. So we apply God's Word in our life, not by the means of our own strength, but by dependence upon Him and trust in Him. The more you spend time in God's Word, and I struggle with this in my own life, because I spend in both my personal life, but in my vocational life as a pastor, I spend a lot of time in God's Word. And I have to be careful, and you do too, that it doesn't just become information, that it doesn't just become knowledge that you have, but that the knowledge that God reveals through His Word is then applied to your mind and to your heart by faith. So it's not just information, but it is about the formation of a life that brings glory to God. You see, again, God has created us to have healthy souls. We are created to know God, yes, even to flourish in a relationship with God. But it doesn't happen automatically. We have to lean on and rely upon the ways that God has given to us, things like prayer, but today, things like the Word, that God has given us His Word so that we can have our souls nourished. Nourished in a relationship with God that can be flourishing. And when I say flourishing, I don't mean everything's happy, go lucky, and you never have any problems. But see, you can flourish in a relationship with God even as you walk through the trials of life. To have that sustenance and that work of God strengthening you through perseverance, even when life hits rock bottom. God can even work through your suffering by the work of His Word to nourish your soul so that when your time is up, when your days are over, your life will bring glory to God, to flourish in a relationship with God. You must be nourished by the Word of God. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank You today for Your Word. And as Your Word has gone forth today, I pray for that person here who has never put their faith in You, who has never experienced Your grace, that today might be the day of their salvation. God, I pray for the Christian here today whose heart has grown distant and cold to you, who has embraced a life of continual indwelling sin, or who has simply grown distant from you in their life. Holy Spirit, I pray by your presence and your work that you bring revival to our souls, that you bring revival of flourishing in a relationship with you. God, for those who are going through difficulties now, who are grieving and struggling, God, I pray you nourish their souls by your word, even in these low moments of life. Lord, we need you. We need your word. God, awaken within us a desire for lives that glorify you. Awaken in us a desire to flourish in a relationship with you. And Lord, awaken in us a desire for your word. This we pray in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.